appellant in the matter. Did you want to save any time for rebuttal, ma'am?
Yes, please, Your Honor. I would like 3 minutes for rebuttal.
Yes, ma'am. You may begin when ready.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the Court, I'm Victoria Johnson, representing the Commonwealth today. Here, Your Honors, the trial court erred in making a legal error in finding that there was not probable cause for the search of Mr. Waller's car. In this case, the officer knew that the inspection sticker on Mr. Waller's car was stolen. The officer had knowledge of this objective fact. He had called into the state police database and knew that the inspection sticker was stolen. This information gave him probable cause to search for evidence of a crime, the crime of possessing a stolen inspection sticker in the car under the automobile exception to the warrant requirement.
This is Judge Olson. After the police officer ran the information through the database, was he convinced that the car was indeed stolen?
I don't think that he was convinced that the car was stolen. I think he was convinced that the inspection sticker was stolen.
Okay.
I don't know that his testimony reached to whether the car was stolen.
Okay.
And he in fact confirmed once he stopped the car and interviewed the driver there at the scene. The driver told him that he had purchased the car from a unnamed individual who is now apparently incarcerated using his student loan money, but had never registered the car. And those are
from a prosecution standpoint. Do you believe the Commonwealth would have been able to make its case with simply the inspection sticker alone?
I think that's, well, respectfully, Judge Olson, I don't think that that's the issue for a probable cause. I think from a prosecution standpoint, possibly, but that's not the issue for probable cause, for the probable cause determination. The probable cause determination is not whether the Commonwealth has enough evidence to go before a jury or a judge and make its case. Probable cause determination is whether an officer reasonably believes, based on his training and experience and the objective facts that he knows, where there's a crime being committed and whether there's evidence.
But I think what we're likely to hear from your opponent colleague is that essentially, once the officer had the information to suggest that the inspection sticker was stolen, he had enough to go forward right then, and anything that happened after that was simply a fishing expedition. That's going to be the suggestion. I'm not saying that that's what the court's going to obviously determine, but that's going to be the suggestion. What would be your response to the suggestion that the subsequent search was pretextual?
Well, I do think that's going to be the argument. I think there was the argument on brief and below, and I think that misapprehends the nature of probable cause. Under the automobile exception, an officer is permitted to look for evidence of a crime in an automobile. Here, the officer testified that he has investigated hundreds of stolen inspection sticker cases, and that typically frequently inspection stickers are stolen in multiples. They are frequently stolen with the supporting paperwork and sold together, and that there were legitimate investigative reasons to look for that evidence. You know, if we didn't know at the point of the stop whether this individual just had the one stolen inspection sticker on his windshield, or if he dealt in stolen inspection stickers. That was something that bore investigation, and a police officer who failed to investigate that would be derelict in his duties. The Commonwealth has an interest, and the police have an interest in investigating crime that happens, you know, right in front of them. And I don't think that was a fishing expedition. I think that was a completely legitimate investigative action by the police. There could have been, yes,
Judge Clemens. Is it the Commonwealth's position that the once determining the objective fact that this particular inspection sticker was stolen, that the officer had probable cause to search the vehicle for other stolen based on his experience with a stolen inspection sticker, that he would find drugs or guns in the car?
That was not the officer. The officer didn't testify that it was his experience that he would find drugs and guns with a stolen inspection sticker. The officer's testimony that it was his experience that he would find with one stolen inspection sticker that he would find either supporting paperwork or that he would find, I believe this is right around Appendix 2021, right in there, that he would find stolen inspection, multiple stolen inspection stickers together in one place because they would be stolen in batches and sold, or that he would find stolen inspection stickers and stolen paperwork. So he had probable cause to search the car for any place that those kinds of things would be hidden. And that, as a practical matter, is pretty much the entire car because, of course, you can secret a little stack of inspection stickers or inspection stickers and paperwork or supporting paperwork with the inspection sticker kind of anywhere in the car, and certainly in the console where the drugs and gun were found here. This isn't really a big stretch. The officer said that he has investigated hundreds of these cases, and that it is his training and his experience that, you know, these things are stolen in batches, and that frequently
this is Judge McCullough. How often is there this pairing of a stolen inspection sticker? And, I mean, is it a outlier scenario where it does happen, let's say, 2 out of 100 times? Or is it something that happens 40 out of 100 times? Because if we're talking about probable cause, at some point, are we green-lighting a search, which is an intrusive thing, for something that's completely improbable, or is it in fact probable and therefore okay and reasonable under the Fourth Amendment?
Well, I don't think the officer testified to a mathematical certainty. I believe he used the word frequently with how he described it. And I think the court might be referencing some language in the Morby Commonwealth case, where I believe that there was some kind of mathematical or statistical testimony from the officer about how frequently a peeling inspection sticker on a windshield was a stolen inspection sticker. And that turned out to be kind of a red herring because the court, while the Supreme Court of Virginia recognized that the officer's experience was certainly weighty and something that they would ordinarily consider, the court noted that the officer, when he effected the stop to investigate this sticker situation for her, knew that the car was not owned by the driver, but was owned by a rental company, which, of course, undercut the entire probable cause analysis. That's not the case here. Here, the officer, before he searched the car, talked to the driver and knew that the driver owned the car. Now, he hadn't registered the car, but the driver, you know, claimed the car. He said that it was his car. And I think that gives some more indicia of probable cause. You know, the driver claimed that he had owned the car, but he hadn't, you know, he paid for it with his student loan money, and he hadn't registered it after a year. And those are all kind of suspicious circumstances as well that I would say add kind of to the quantum of probable cause in this case.
Counsel,
another thing.
This is Judge Austin again. Obviously, and looking at this case, it's a mixed question of law and fact. Do you believe we would have a different result in this case, even if the officer testified that the circumstance happens frequently, if the trial judge made a factual determination that the officer's subsequent search was pretextual? Would we have a different case?
Well, Your Honor, we don't have those express factual findings, obviously, as the court pointed out. I mean, I think that if the court made a factual, well, you know, not, no, actually, Judge, because the officer's subjective intent has no bearing on the Fourth Amendment question. But we take it from an objective standpoint, not from the officer's subjective intent. So even the officer had a subjective intent to do record that it is not uncommon, and in fact, that frequently inspection stickers and I think we can take a certain amount of common sense and common knowledge. You know, when you get your car inspected, you get that little white piece of paper that goes with your inspection sticker, and you stick it in your glove compartment because you're supposed to keep it with your inspection sticker. You know that those two things come together. They're frequently stolen together, according to the officer. And it makes sense to, if you have a stolen inspection sticker, to look for the stolen paperwork. Or if you know, as a law enforcement officer, that those acts of, that it's frequent to find those multiple inspection stickers in one place, it makes sense to look for that to see if there's some kind of stolen inspection sticker ring operating that you've just found. I assume that kind of black market is profitable and is something that goes on. No, Your Honor. The answer to your question is no. Another thing that the appellee has kind of relied on is the officer's testimony that he tries not to look for the pink and yellow slips anymore, and kind of an argument that the officer doesn't really look for paperwork, and this whole thing was pretextual and a fishing expedition. And I submit that testimony was taken out of context. What the officer was saying was that he doesn't look for the pink and yellow slips anymore because the pink and yellow slips aren't issued anymore, and he looks for the white slips. The officer indicated that he's been an officer for a period of time. He's done hundreds of these inspection sticker investigations. And, of course, in the past, the pink and yellow slips were issued. Now we've gone to the white pieces of paper.
Counsel, you're into your rebuttal time. Obviously, you can continue if you'd like, but you are
into your rebuttal time. I'll reserve. Thank you, Your Honor.
Right. Counsel, are you ready to proceed?
Yes, Your Honor. To address some of the court's questions thus far, it does appear to be somewhat of a strict liability statute, the inspection sticker statute 46.2 1172, and essentially once the officer confirmed with the state police that the numbers match, the crime is completed. At that point, his subsequent search is either pretextual or he's improperly relying on his experience. I think his testimony suggests that when he finds a stolen inspection sticker or one that's been reported stolen, he's always searching the car, which does not amount to probable cause in each of those individual cases. I think it's clear that he's not investigating because he doesn't ask any questions about paperwork, and he doesn't take note of some of the information that's in the state police database. With respect to the suggestion that there would be other stolen inspection stickers, I think what the officer's testimony suggests is that the inspection stickers are often stolen together, but does not suggest that they are sold together or that he would have multiple inspection stickers. I think this testimony suggested they'd be sold separately to individuals. He actually testified that while it would be common for them to be stolen in multiples, that he has only a couple of times seen someone actually have multiple stickers on them, and what he has dealt with is ones that are already affixed to the windshield.
Counsel, this is Judge Austin. Do you agree or disagree that once the officer has probable cause to believe that a crime has been committed, that he is entitled, even under the automobile exception, to search further in furtherance of the other fruits related to that crime? Do you agree or disagree with that premise?
I disagree with that premise, Your Honor. I think that there has to be a basis, a probable cause basis, for him to actually believe that there would be additional evidence found. And I think that in the inspection sticker situation, that would be rare. I think Judge McCullough inquired as to how often the pairing of a stolen inspection sticker is with the stolen paperwork, and I think that the officer's testimony is that sometimes the paperwork is also stolen by whoever the individual is who actually steals it. And
does the term sometimes get you to probable cause?
I would suggest it does not, but I think that it is more likely, always more likely, that if the inspection sticker is stolen, that there would be no paperwork. And when the officer is looking for paperwork, the only paperwork that would be evidence of a crime would be stolen paperwork. the absence of paperwork would not be evidence of a crime, and legitimate paperwork would not be evidence of a crime. And I think this is essentially greenlighting a search where it's not probable that this paperwork exists, and it's unnecessary for the officer to find the paperwork if it does in fact exist. And I think that
wouldn't paperwork with a different name on it be further evidence against someone who had a stolen sticker?
I'm not sure that the inspection paperwork has names on it.
In other words, if the car is, it's my car, Steve McCullough's car, I've got a stolen inspection sticker on it, and in the glove box is the name of a completely different individual in a different car. Wouldn't that provide confirmation of, someone had that in their glove box so that it would may perhaps go to their intent? They could say, I didn't realize it was a stolen inspection sticker, but yet they have the paperwork there in the glove box that kind of adds to the evidence against them.
If I understand Your Honor's question, I think that takes us back to the fact that it is, in essence, a strict liability statute where it doesn't matter the person's intent. It doesn't matter if they know that it's stolen or improper. It's just whether an improper inspection sticker is affixed to the windshield. I don't think it has to be your car. I don't think you have to know that it happens. I think that you are responsible for it in a strict liability sense.
Well, it's strict liability to have the sticker, but possessing a stolen sticker, that's a crime that requires intent, doesn't it?
To be candid, my reading of the statute doesn't suggest that it does.
Okay.
Since I don't
All
think
right.
that you have to be the one who stole it or even have to know that it's stolen. It's
okay.
just unauthorized use of an inspection sticker.
Okay.
In this case, our argument is simply that the officer did not have probable cause and thus the automobile exception did not apply. With respect to the Gantt exception, our argument is also that it does not apply. Primarily because the unauthorized inspection sticker charge is not the crime of arrest, and Gantt only permits vehicular searches incident to arrest where the unsecured arrestee is within the reach of the passenger compartment or it's reasonable to believe that evidence relevant to the crime of arrest might be found in the vehicle. And the crime of arrest in this case is the failure to appear for which Waller was issued a summons. The Commonwealth argues in their brief that the summons was the equivalent of an arrest. However, a release by summons, if this court holds is consistent with a non-custodial arrest, I think it's clear it's not a traditional custodial arrest. And a non-custodial arrest does not trigger the search incident to arrest exception from which Gantt permits the vehicular search. To be quite candid, the Commonwealth cites no legal authority for its argument that Gantt can or should be extended to offenses of non-custodial arrest. Under the plain reading of Gantt in this case, the only offense which could have provided the basis for a search was the failure to appear, and the Commonwealth makes no argument that it's reasonable to believe that the evidence concerning the failure to appear might be found in the vehicle.
Counsel, this is Judge Clements. May I ask you a follow-up question to one that Judge McCullough just asked a moment ago? If the officer knows that this is a stolen inspection sticker, and he has some experience that he might find stolen paperwork or other stolen stickers, doesn't it potentially become, and that's not a good word, but doesn't it become a different crime if, in fact, the officer discovers multiple stolen inspection stickers and paperwork?
Potentially. I'm not aware of exactly what crime that would, but yes, potentially, I guess that could, he could discover evidence of another crime in the same way that he discovered evidence of a crime in this case.
Well, then why couldn't he, knowing that he's got a stolen inspection sticker and based upon some experience that he's testified to, why can't he look for other multiple stickers or sheets?
Well, I think based on his experience, his experience does not suggest that he would find multiple stickers or evidence that this person would be involved in some sort of actually stealing and distributing stolen inspection stickers ring, and because I don't think that his past experience amounts to probable cause in this case with no other indicia, no other evidence supporting his belief that he would find evidence.
Counsel, in this case, Judge Austin again, in this case, the trial judge, as far as I've been able to tell, made no credibility determinations in the context of this case. With no credibility determinations being made, basically discounting the officer's approach in this case, why aren't we sort of placed in a situation where we have to acknowledge case law as it exists and recognize the officer's ability to search in furtherance of a crime that he has knowledge of? Hello?
I'm sorry. I'm not sure I understood the second part of the court's question with respect to the officer.
Yeah, actually, my phone started ringing and making funny sounds, so you might not have heard. You might not have heard me. My basic question is this. There were no credibility determinations made in this case, contrary to
right.
the Commonwealth's position in the case. With that being the case, why aren't we compelled to find that under the circumstances, when you look at it from the Commonwealth's perspective, that this is indeed a legitimate search?
Your Honor, I think because even finding the officer credible and relying pretty much entirely to evidence in this case is his testimony, and not suggesting that he's not credible, just that the information that he possessed did not arise to the level of probable cause, and that he, I think, improperly applied his past experience to this case because he had no indicators in this case. And his past experience just told him that sometimes this happens, which essentially just rises to the level that there could be evidence and it could physically fit in this car, but that I would suggest is not probable cause.
Okay, counsel, you have about 5 minutes left, but you don't have to use it unless you want to.
No, unless the court has further questions, I would rely just on my written brief.
All right, we thank you, counsel. Ms. Johnson, you have about 3 minutes.
Thank you very much, Your Honor. I think I'll pick up with counsel's last statement. The officer's experience that sometimes this happens and sometimes this evidence can be found is probable cause. That's the definition of probable cause. You know, that a reasonable police officer, based on his training and his experience that is not available to other people, can make a determination there's going to be evidence of a crime in this situation, there could be evidence of a crime, that's probable cause. It's not a certainty. It's not proof beyond a reasonable doubt. It's a probability. It's a probability warranting an investigation. That's exactly what probable cause is.
Where does probable cause end and a fishing expedition begin from your perspective?
You know, I think that the Moore case, Moore v. Commonwealth, I think that is a great delineation. I think that we have that set up in the case law. In the Moore case, the officer saw a peeling inspection sticker, and to the officer that indicated that the inspection sticker could be stolen. So the officer pulled the car and did a search, and I believe found contraband. And I think it's gun and drugs again. And the Supreme Court of Virginia said, you know what, I think in that case it was even a reasonable suspicion case. And there was insufficient reasonable suspicion anymore because there just wasn't enough there. There was just the peeling inspection sticker. There was no knowledge, as in this case, that the inspection sticker was in fact stolen. And the officer couldn't articulate anything other than, a lot of times when I see a peeling inspection sticker, that means that the inspection sticker is stolen. That's just not much to go on. That gets you kind of into fishing expedition land, I think.
Suppose, this is Judge McCall, suppose the state just stopped with a paper altogether, and
mm-hmm.
what you had was the sticker. and the officer had never or couldn't testify to any encounters with additional stickers, or he said, well, it happened, but almost never, would he be able to search the car under those circumstances?
So in your, I'm sorry, just to make sure I'm clear, Your Honor, the hypothetical is we don't have any supporting paperwork with stickers.
Right,
anymore.
You don't get that white piece of paper anymore that replaced the formerly pink piece of paper. So that just doesn't exist. And the officer at best says, well, on really rare occasions, you know, when there's one sticker, there's a bunch hidden in the car somewhere. Would that be enough?
Sometimes, very rarely, maybe. Sometimes it happens. I think that would be a harder case, Judge. I would prefer not to argue that case. I think that would be a harder one. I think that we would be getting further away from probable cause at that point. But again, you know, the kind of classic definition of probable cause is that it deals with probabilities, not hard legal standards, as a case-by-case analysis. And I submit that here in this case, there is enough probable cause. Another thing that I wanted to speak to is that I think it was Judge Clements who asked this question of why couldn't the Commonwealth just charge a different crime other than, you know, the Code Section 462.1172 that the officer issued a summons for. And that's absolutely correct. If the officer had uncovered, you know, a stack of stolen inspection stickers in the car, that could easily be a different crime, you know, based on what the investigation turned out. The Commonwealth has discretion how to charge that crime. It doesn't have to be a stolen inspection sticker case. It could be some other crime. Since,
Johnson, if you could go ahead and summarize. Your time has expired, but if you
I'm sorry. I don't have a clock here with me. I apologize.
That's okay. It's my job to keep the clock, so you're fine.
Well,
if you'd like to go ahead and summarize.
Thank you so much. Sure. The search was adequately supported by probable cause under the automobile exception, and the Commonwealth asks that you reverse the trial court's findings. Thank you.
All right. Judge Clements, any more questions?
No, thank you.
Judge McCullough?
No, thank you.
All right. Counsel, we thank you for your presentation this morning. And again, Ms. Johnson, our best to your mother and your family. And the court will now go into conference. Thank you.
Thank you very much.